Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running pro hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The most important thing, we trust one another. What happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
The head coach.
We're just going to have to be more disciplined. He's going to have to be more disciplined.
And the fans.
We have some talented players, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to compete at this level of the NBA with what we have going on.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. Presented by Palermo's Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in, Bucks fans. Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, with you tonight on a Friday night after the Bucks fall in Washington, starting out a road trip on the wrong end. 113-106, the final in tonight's game. Also, a big night, a milestone night. Game 41 of the 2018-2019 NBA season. The Milwaukee Bucks sitting in perfect position. We'll talk about that a lot tonight, but in the game tonight, Washington jumps out early and often. They were on fire from deep. 40 points in the first quarter, running out on the Bucks up 14 after one period. Washington from beyond the arc, over 56%. 18 of 33 tonight. The Bucks just 13 of 40 from downtown in the game tonight. No Giannis, a big storyline, obviously, as he is out with a hip pointer. Bucks lose by 7. Not a dangerous situation as they still sit with 29 wins. Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, Mitch Ross, the mayor, in with us as along with Evan Mark Heffelfinger. Now, he's calling himself the president of the DJ Wilson fan club. He started pumping his fist when DJ got the last second bucket, Mitch. I was juiced up.
Just because I thought, good for you, Evan.
I still like when people smile during these losses, during tough days. That's what you need. You still need excitement. I didn't know if maybe you had a prop bet that the Wizards would win by, or the Bucks would get points, and you'd really be losing some money there, as the Bucks are always heavy favorites.
Yeah,
the last few weeks,
right when DJ pulled up for that three at the end there, my head immediately went to the spread, and I was like, oh yeah, the Bucks are probably favored by six or seven.
Big time, so big time. Understandably so, though. I mean, they have just, Mitch, you've been in here how many different nights? Seemingly, they are. I mean, one, you come into every single night expecting them to win. At this point, there's not many nights where you come in.
I would say Wednesday I'd be lying if I said I expected them to win in Houston. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, you know, yeah.
They get the job done against the Rockets, come back tonight, lose. But in Bucks fashion this year, following along with the script, they haven't lost back-to-back games in the season. 29-12, the record as it stands right now. 41 games in. The mathematical halfway point for the Milwaukee Bucks. And right now, after the results tonight, pending the Toronto result, 31-12 are the Toronto Raptors. Bucks sit at 29-12, second in the Eastern Conference, and overall a winning percentage of 707. You have arguably the front runner for MVP after the 2020 performance in Giannis the other night. He sits out tonight. Nothing to be upset about. Are people freaking out already? I mean, I know the Phoenix game sent everyone into an absolute tizzy. That was back in, what, November?
That was, yeah, Black Friday.
I feel like we still hear about that. You lost to the Suns, so they can lose any game. Come on, guys. Bucks lose tonight in Washington, 113-106. They get a bucket late by DJ Wilson. And not necessarily as close as, or it was as close as the number prevailed, because like we were talking about earlier on in the game, it felt like every single time the Bucks got it within 4, 3, 2, it would jump right back out to a 10-point Washington lead.
And I feel like the Wizards are like the Jason Kidd Bucks, where they could literally beat anyone in the league and literally lose to anyone in the league.
Playing right to their competition.
Yep.
Right? And for so long, you've seen the Bucks do that. But they've been blowing a lot of different teams out this year as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I thought this was funny earlier on today. My mom calls me in the middle of the day. Weird, because my mother never calls me. calls me to ask what time the Bucks game was tonight. She thought it was at 7:30, but she was looking at the guide on her TV at 7:30, and she couldn't figure out, well, first you have the wrong channel, so that was the major issue. But no, it's at 6 o'clock, earlier game. And then calls me again when the game starts. Sitting down, I got my laptop, got my stuff ready, you know, getting ready for the show, watching the game earlier at home, had little taco dinner in front of me, and then I get a call, and why is Giannis not playing? Is he okay? Mom, you've never watched the Bucks. What are you watching the Bucks game for? And I started to get the inkling on Christmas Day. I went and pushed myself off into another room while after the breakfast was done, opening presents was done.
Had to take a break from everything.
Right. Got myself away. Didn't really want to be a bother to everybody else because, you know, you're still getting a little bit more juiced. And obviously, it was the Knicks. Then it was kind of a runaway game, but you didn't want any distractions. I come upstairs and ESPN's on. They've been watching the game the whole time. 41 games in, it just feels different around Milwaukee when you talk about the Bucks now. Doesn't it a little bit? I mean, you're rocking the City Edition hat, Mitch.
Yeah, pretty much every game smooth at this point.
Probably
going to have to change it up after this one, but
I think you should keep it. I like that one. I really do. Here on the road trip, I think you should keep it constant. But when you wear that hat out, there's not the conversations that we used to have as Bucks fans.
I remember getting, so I got one of their Christmas sweaters, ugly sweaters. I think, feel like every year they have a new one.
Mm-hmm.
I got one like 2, maybe 3 years ago. And I remember being out in an establishment and someone saying, "Oh, nice sweater, man. Like, go Bucks." And I was like, wow.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I was like, wow, everyone's a Bucks fan now, huh?
Because randomly you would get the, oh yeah, go Bucks. Or then Bucks and Six became like the joking moniker, right? When Brandon Jennings came out and said Bucks in six, when that started, the Bucks were playing the defending champion Miami Heat. There was not going to be a Bucks in six. That wasn't going to happen that year.
No.
It was a joke. And the Bucks at that point, I mean, had reached the mediocrity level of being almost a repetitive joke. Wondering when the Bucks would be done, and you'd go to the games and you'd have a lot of fun, and then you'd kind of be a starter to going a night down on Third or on Water Street. It was kind of like the prelim to the main event, which was actually you doing something out on the town. Now I feel like the Bucks are becoming a destination for a lot more people than we might think, might know. The Bucks are kind of becoming destination viewing across the city of Milwaukee. I think it's something that we've hoped we would see for a long time and really not necessarily believed would happen this quickly, but you have a superstar, and that's exactly what happens when you have Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
And arguably the best team in the league.
Yeah, and Ryan and I were talking about this the other night as well, where, you know, he was saying the Bucks have one of the better home crowd advantages in the league, and, you know, it has come a long way as far as, you know, you go to a game 5 years ago and there were, you know, hardly any Bucks gear.
Yep.
I mean, people were there. They kind of were, you know, on their phones, kind of a night out type of thing. Let's just hang out, have a couple of drinks or whatever at the game. And now it's like everybody has Bucks gear. They're watching it. They're not necessarily, you know, the loudest crowd, but you can tell people know when to cheer and when not to cheer.
Right. Growing. And the excitement is growing. Like you said, they're still a little bit hesitant.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody getting fully rowdy. Not everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's
going to
take a lot more
level.
after, and I understand this, after 30 years of, you know,
exactly.
Better part of 30 years
no
of
doubt.
Pretty terrible basketball. It's going to take more than a 29-12 start, which the Bucks sit at tonight with the loss. You know, it's going to take a lot more than that to be Golden State.
I think about it this way. When I was listening to a lot of Chicago radio the last couple of weeks with the Bears being in
too much fun
playoff
right now.
It was way too much fun. And they were dogging the fans in the city for kind of being quote unquote dumb, not necessarily knowing when they should be cheering. They had Jay Cutler a few years ago say, "Hey guys, when I'm calling the play, if you could all quiet down, that would be really, really good." But the Bears had been putrid for how many different years. Bucks fans were a little bit smarter than them still because they have a horn to tell the fans when to start cheering. You're not at that level yet. We got our own students or cheering section every single night. Are people still down with Squad 6, Sector 7, What are they called now? The Cream City
Cream
Crush?
City Clash, I think.
Clash? Is that still a positive, or is that getting a little hot button? I heard some people weren't too happy. I heard a couple of people weren't too happy with them. Larry Sanders would be so sad if he heard that people didn't like that. I mean, when he would come out and hear the Larry, Larry, they'd always gravitate toward the first round pick, thinking the guy would never play. Well, they cheered for Giannis, and he turned out to be one of the best players in the NBA and lead the Bucks right now to where they sit 41 games into the season. The second team in the East, 29-12. You dial us up at 414-799-1250. That's how you get your voice heard here on the Fan. You want to jump on in? Wide open tonight as we just talk about halfway point for the Milwaukee Bucks. Even after a loss tonight in Washington, there's a ton to smile about and be excited about with Bucks basketball because the excitement is running rampant throughout the city. We'll talk more next. It's the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Mayor Mitch, Evan Heffelfinger in here as well, taking your calls next here on the Fan.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Bucks lose tonight 113-106 in our nation's capital, fall to the Washington Wizards. Bucks still coming in after the loss. 29-12. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, with you tonight. In for the legendary Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I will also be in with you on Sunday after the Milwaukee Bucks travel down to Mike Budenholzer's old home. The Atlanta Hawks, the opponent on Sunday afternoon at 2:30 tip-off, will be on right around 4:45, so right in the middle of that second game, figuring out who's going to be the final participant of NFL Championship Weekend. Come on, join us for a few minutes, talk some Bucks basketball after the Bucks beat up on the Hawks. That should be a lot more fun than it was tonight as they fell 113-106. The biggest number that I took away from tonight's game was 54.5. That was the percentage that the Washington Wizards shot from three-point territory. They hit 18 of 33. It is difficult to win in this league when your opponent shoots over 50% from beyond the arc because those shots are worth 3 points. The other ones are only worth two. You do the math. I only got season math, but those just don't add up. And the Bucks ended up hitting 13 of their 40 shots from downtown tonight. Just under 45% overall as a squad. Giannis was out with a hip pointer. So he was no help tonight, but as you see, six Bucks in double figures get them to the 106 mark, 25 from Chris Middleton as he led it. 8 of 17 from the field, 3 of 9 from downtown, and 6 of 7 from the charity stripe. 12 from Ersan Ilyasova, 13 from Brook Lopez on 5 of 9 shooting, 3 of 6 from deep, 18 for Bledsoe. Malcolm Brogdon pitched in 15 as well as 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Ted Davis called Malcolm Brogdon, Mitch, earlier on tonight while I was driving in listening to the game. And I love listening to Ted primarily because of the hometown call. I mean, nobody gives a better hometown call in this area than Ted Davis. And he said something about Malcolm Brogdon. Said right now he's becoming one of the best finishers in the league. At the surface, I thought, Ted, all right, let's slow it down a little bit. But you watch the last 15, 20 games, he's been very, very, very crisp around the cob.
And yeah, I mean, once you started to think about it, right, you're like, yeah, he is. The dude's incredible. And, you know, he's the only guy left in the NBA, or the only guy right now, I should say, that's 50, 40, and 90. 50 from the floor, 40 from three, and 90%, 98.9% from the free throw line or whatever. I mean,
it's incredible.
And knock on wood, he's looking at probably a record-setting free throw shooting season.
And finishing up inside the box score, 10 points from Sterling Brown, who also we'll get to a little bit more tonight, 27 minutes on the floor. Sterling Brown, all that dude is doing is earning himself more playing time, isn't he?
Well, yeah, and people wondering out there why Pat Connaughton doesn't play. That's your answer right there. Right.
Yep, 23 is the reason.
And Connaughton, when he does get minutes, he's not hitting shots, and that's probably a lot due to the inconsistent playing time of late.
Yeah, when you miss shots, that hurts.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game.
To get back on the floor.
Yep. Could he use them tonight, but oh well.
So DJ sent in this tweet to at 105.7 FM The Fan, and it's a GIF or a GIF. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it. But
I say GIF.
Of Mike Budenholzer walking into the locker room, like acting like he'd be freaking out. I can't think Mike's all that mad tonight.
Well, I mean, it's probably his decision to sit Giannis tonight, so.
Yeah. Didn't need him.
He dug his own grave on that one.
My mom called me. My mom is in her mid-50s and calls me. And my mother doesn't watch pro basketball, really. She doesn't watch college basketball. If I played in high school, she wouldn't have really watched high school basketball. I think she came in middle school primarily because it was more of a fear that I was going to hurt somebody because I got thrown out of a few different basketball games when I was younger. I was a little bit more of a physical person when I was playing basketball. But
Kenny, you were one of those football players playing
right,
basketball?
Yeah.
I know those guys. Yeah.
I was the kid that was kind of out there just like, all right, Billy, you should probably go do something in the winter so you don't just sit around eating Twinkies all night. So, but she calls me and says, why isn't Giannis playing? Is he okay? Yeah, Mom, Giannis is all right. He'll be okay. If this was a bigger game, he probably would have been able to play. You'd have been able to go if they were playing the Warriors or 76ers, Boston, Toronto, you name it. It wasn't a night that you really need to be worried about what they appointed with Giannis. Anyway, I digress. It isn't a fear tonight that you lose a game to Washington on the road in the middle of a road trip and an extended road trip that then will bring you back just every once in a while to Milwaukee over the next, 25 games or something like that. It's a ridiculous run that the Bucks go out on the road. But when you watch a game like tonight, you see what the Bucks have around Giannis. You see more of the depth of the team, and you have to look at the bench, and the bench wasn't great tonight. Sterling Brown, the only player coming off the bench in double figures. Thon, only 5 minutes tonight. 21 minutes from Tony Snell. He was 2 of 8. DJ Wilson, sorry, everybody. 2 of 5. Didn't look bad. Didn't play bad. I mean, he was in. He had a couple of steals, and that was about it. But no real big splash plays from your bench guys. And you're still competitive with, I would say about 2/3 of the teams in the NBA. You need your star to compete against the upper echelon teams in the league. But in a game like tonight, your star doesn't play, or in a situation where Giannis does play, and say you're playing a team that's going to slot 5 or 6 in the playoff hunt, and he doesn't have his best night, you can survive those games because of the depth of your team, the mold that Mike Budenholzer has put in and the system that he has. Right now, I saw a guy, Bradley Beal, tonight that all week, all last month, last year, Bradley Beal's name comes up in trade talks whenever you consider who the Bucks could grab, because everybody believes that a lot of people believe this team is not good enough to win the championship, so they need another star. I happen to think that they're plenty good in a league right now that in the last 9-10 years has never been more wide open. I see a team that's playing the best basketball I've seen them play in 20 years, so I'm buying in. But Bradley Beal, to me, I saw him tonight, and yeah, he drops 30, and he's fun to watch. He's electric. He can shoot the ball. He can get to the cup, play some defense, but at the risk of tanking what you got in the depth department and guys around the floor, I just don't know how much that actually really helps you in the long run. The team is legitimate right now. And if you're talking about getting rid of the guy that led you in scoring, Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, who we were just gushing about being arguably one of the top finishers in the league, you probably have to give up one of your bigs, so either Thon or DJ or both. A couple of first-round picks and the next, the 50th presidential term, because the Bucks have so many protections tied up. There's really just not that much to trade, and I really just don't know how it helps you all that much.
Yeah, no, I mean, Richard tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan, come on, guys, presumably talking about the Bucks. I love the Bucks, but clearly they need another go-to guy. Giannis can't carry this team, especially in the playoffs. Beal would clearly be a huge pickup for them. Yes, I agree, Richard. But we're not getting Bradley Beal.
Yeah, like it would be fun if this was 2K and you could force trade. So like you could send George Hill straight up for Bradley Beal, and seemingly the money doesn't matter, or the actual relative
now,
competency of the players doesn't matter.
Now you can't help but think or compare it to Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy Butler situation. It would be probably a similar trade. And Philly got Jimmy Butler for Dario Saric and Robert Covington, and that mainly was because Butler forced his way out.
And
now, unless Beal decides to pout and say he wants out and makes it publicly known so the Wizards lose any and all leverage, then yeah, you might be able to get him for Middleton and spare parts. But I think that you're looking at probably Brogdon and Middleton, so you're and I don't even think Washington does that because
your scoring options right there. That's what that is. That's
for the most for the Bucks. I mean, that'd be outside of Giannis.
Options, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's all your depth for the Bucks. But I think that, you know, the Wizards don't want to do that because neither of those guys are under contract beyond this season.
And we're pushed up against it. So we'll bring this back after the break. But just a little forward thinking with our guys at Forward Financial Partners. It's something we do every single night. Forward Financial Partners, moving forward together on the web at ffpwi.com. Looking forward, I don't know how that necessarily makes you all that much I don't want to say that much better, because I understand what it does. It gives you another top, I don't know, 30 player in the league, 40 player in the league, wherever you want to slot.
He's
Bradley
probably
Beal.
Top 30. I mean, he's
top 30. I would think he's easily top 30.
He's probably a top 10 guard. I mean, you know, he's good.
But at the risk of, like you said, Mitch, 2 and 3 on your scoring option list, arguably maybe number one in the leadership risk. I don't think we think about that. Chris Middleton, I know, gets a lot of respect in that locker room for the career that he's had and where he's come from in his career. Second-round pick that has busted his hind parts for absolutely everything he had. He came over in the trade. I know a lot of people tend to forget this, but as kind of the throw-in piece to Brandon Knight, back in college, before he was a second-round pick, he was one of the top high school players in the nation. Thought he was going to be a one-and-done top 15, top 10 pick, and gets hurt, you know, early on in his freshman year, still decides to go with relatively no college experience, taken in the second round, bets on himself, and has earned himself the opportunity this offseason to get absolutely paid. Malcolm Brogdon has followed really, really well in that locker room. Whoever else you have to mess with, take out and take that chemistry out of the equation that the Bucks have. Bradley Beal's nice. But, man, sometimes you drive over and you see a really, really cool car. Understand the insurance that you're paying on that. You don't understand. That thing takes premium, man. That's going to be more money out of your pocketbook. That's one less night down on Water Street that you can take over to. Just saying. Life is good right now. 29 and 12. Let's maybe not mess it up too much. 113-106. Bucks lose tonight. More next on The Fan.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get tonight's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The Wrench and Go drive of the game. We talked about him a lot earlier on tonight, Mayor Mitch. We don't want to see him leave. Malcolm Brogdon taking one. Seemingly closing it to within three. This one made it 85-82, as close really as the Bucks got all night.
Beal can't score. Brogdon has it. Closing seconds in the third. Brogdon goes to the left hand, back to the right to score. What a move by Brogdon.
Strong. Just strong. You had numbers. You knew.
There's Steve Novak, Jim Paschke on the call, Fox Sports Wisconsin. Malcolm Brogdon.
The wreck and go.
The
drive of the game.
Wrench and go drive of the game is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. Wrench and go. Malcolm Brogdon is becoming, as Ted Davis coined him, one of the best finishers in all of basketball. 31 minutes tonight, 5 of 9 around the cup. Malcolm has started to, I think, more try to assert himself a little bit more in the offense every single night, which is I think going to be key. I don't know if maybe that's a directive from Coach Bud, and maybe we can ask Matt Velasquez if he's heard anything when we talk to him later on tonight.
I think Bud wants everyone to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants everyone to go to the rack, and if it's not there, kick it out.
And that's so important in this league.
In the league, I mean, it's huge. In order to get guys, you know, it sucks to say, but in order to get guys to be engaged and focused on the defensive end, you want them at least a little bit involved on the offensive end, hitting their shots and getting into a rhythm on right. that side. You know, most guys in the NBA, that's just how it is. You know, some guys are purely defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, who on the Bucks is a pure defensive player?
Maybe Tony Snell, but you still think of him more as a 3-and-D guy. But I mean, when he goes 2 of 8 from the field to a 6 from deep, it's hard to call him a 3-and-D guy. But I guess that would be the only one that I could think of.
DJ Wilson probably is kind of like the bigger version of Tony Snell,
sure.
maybe.
I like
hopefully better.
I think DJ Wilson's like a big fundamental. Just does everything right. Not gonna hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, like he's kind of like Tony Snell. Like you're not expecting him to score 30 points. You know, you just need him to kind of get in the way, play defense, be in the right spot, active hands, block shots. And if you're wide open in the corner, hit it.
And that's what role players do on teams that are competing for opportunities to play for a title. And that's what the Bucks are right now. They're a legitimate contender for the Eastern Conference. Giannis is I would believe, a front runner or a favorite for MVP. I got him at 5-1 when he was more of a contender. There's a difference between a favorite and a contender, right? Like a contender you believe could get there, right? The Green Bay Packers, I felt like, were contenders for the last few years. Not many times did you look in and be like, okay, Packers going to the Super Bowl, man. If anybody's betting against them, they're an idiot. That's a favorite. The Golden State Warriors are the favorite every year. I don't think I'm breaking any news by saying that, and no one's going to argue staunchly with me. But the Houston Rockets last year were a contender. They were able to contend with the Warriors and give them a legitimate series and push them to their limits. I think the Bucks are a contender with absolutely anybody in the East. They can beat anybody in this conference in a 7-game series. And it's a lot because of what you have built around your superstar. You don't have the three-headed monster, but you have a nucleus and then a superstar.
Yeah, Chris Middleton somehow had 25 points tonight. It really didn't feel like
it. Didn't feel like it, no.
8 of 17 from the floor for Middleton. 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. I mean, it's, you know, he was okay tonight. You wanted a little bit more, probably.
And it's one of
those... It was still balanced.
No, for sure it was. And, right, the Washington Wizards, you come in... Believing Wizards, you should easily win. They're not one of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, so the Wizards are better without John Wall. That's not like a pioneering thing. It's just, it is what it is.
It's crazy.
John Wall,
just crazy.
Dwight Howard, and Markieff Morris were both out tonight. Probably the three worst locker room guys.
Still can't believe
not in the league, but I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And here they are. Blew out OKC in Oklahoma the other night.
Yep.
Blew out the Sixers on Wednesday. Granted, mm-hmm. we got blown out by the Sixers the night before. Wizards are okay. They had a night tonight. Let's not jump off a cliff.
Right. It's going to happen. And we're sitting in here watching, as I look around the league tonight, and a pretty busy night in the association, as a lot of Friday nights are. And Sunday is going to be a little bit less of a day, but we'll be in here talking after the Bucks take on the Atlanta Hawks as we look at the next opponent and take a little eye on the enemy. The Hawks are bad. They're 13-29. The Bucks are 29-12. So I think that's really the only eye on the enemy that Coach's Pub and Grill really needs tonight. Coach's Pub and Grill, South 13th Street. Go stop out there right now. Stop out there for lunch, dinner, whatever it is. Maybe just to get a drink and try the fabulous Friday fish fry. It's 8:47, so maybe if you hurry over there, I don't know exactly what time the kitchen closes.
Maybe if the coaches on Lake Dunoon is close for you.
Maybe. Maybe that's closer. Maybe you can still get in there and get a couple of pieces of nice fried fish. But I look at the Indiana Pacers right now, and they're whooping up on the Knicks, as just about anybody should. And it still is a question for me, Mitch, that I'm really valuing a division championship this year for the Bucks.
Yeah.
As they sit 2 games up on the Pacers right now, even after the loss tonight. And it's the mathematical halfway point. 41 games played at 29-12. a lot of the conversations have been big picture, but first take care of business, and the Bucks can win their first division championship in nearly two decades. I think that means a lot more than people want to think as we sit here at the halfway point. And halfway through the season, it's hard to have expected, believe that you are going to have a whole lot more to watch at this point in the season. I mean, what else were you expecting or hoping for as the Bucks sit second in the Eastern Conference, first in the division, at the halfway point, the mathematical halfway point? As a Bucks fan for as long as I have, and you have, Mitch, and Evan has, and all the people that, you know, listen to this show and have been Sparky Boys since the show started, you know, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And the fan really gave the platform for Bucks Talk to really launch off. This is the best the team has been at a mathematical halfway point
in either of our lives.
In either of our lives.
And I joked with people in the preseason after watching them. I mean, did they even lose in preseason? Yeah, they lost to Oklahoma City. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once or twice in preseason. But just how just so refreshing it was to watch this team. And I knew they were going to be good. I was joking with people. The Warriors better look out for that record, because I knew the Bucks were going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of still a joke, you know, like, okay. And they start 7-0, and I'm thinking, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of had a little bit of a rough patch there for a while, up and down, up and down, up and down.
You know how good I was feeling? 46 and a half was pretty much guaranteed after the 8-0 start.
Yeah.
The over on the Bucks win
People
total.
Are smashing that thing now. I mean, they probably were after that 7-0 start when they actually were getting odds still.
Right.
You know, so
I'm still a little salty.
Is that what 46 and a half is what it was?
46 and a half at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that was an obvious over.
I was kind of.
And now, I mean, 60 is 60. I was saying 60, like realistically 60.
Sure.
And that's still in play for sure.
Now that's where I'm at now. I thought right around 52, 53 was going to be the top end. And after you've seen how the team plays right now, 60 is well within reach. And dial us up at 414-799-1250. D in Colorado has been calling this show a long time, so he's probably got the phone number on speed dial. D, what's going out there in the Mile High State?
Man, just enjoying life, dude. Enjoying everything that's going out these ways. Hey, but you know why I called up? Honestly, is I'm not really bugging on tonight's game, but you said something about, like, trading for Bradley Beal or talking money.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, dude, at the end of the day, you're going to pay Chris Middleton the same amount of money you paid Bradley Beal.
Sure, yep.
And if you actually do want a second legit or quote-unquote demigod on his team to go along with Giannis, Chris Middleton is not that player. And a lot of y'all keep talking about, well, defense don't matter. The last two rounds in the playoffs, Chris Middleton has been the game plan to attack by the other team. It's not his – you talk about Jabari Parker. I need y'all to have, like, a – what was that movie? Oh, man, with Matthew McConaughey, Samuel Jackson, I think he's like, close your eyes and picture it this way. That's what I need y'all to do. Picture Chris Middleton defense, close your eyes and look at it the same way you look at Jabari Parker. It's the same. And at the end of the day, Norman Powell, Terrence Ross, Tatum, Brown, and playoffs have killed us because Chris Middleton has not been able to consistently do what he needs to do against them. And I'm not talking about Michael Jordan type defense. Who's going to be able to, I don't know, get in their way?
Mm-hmm.
Because the OA stuff he does, it does. And that's my biggest issue with this team. And I know you talk about chemistry. Let's be honest, too. Two things that we don't really want. The media in this city, and like you said, the fan has brought us unbelievable Bucks talk. It ain't like New York. It ain't like Philly. So things that go on in this Bucks locker room don't really get reported the way that it would in those places.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So is Chris Middleton really that great of a leader or that great of a person in the locker room? If we was having this conversation, it was off the record, what did he say? Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fan, a lot of fans don't want them conversations either, because anytime Gary Russell criticizes them, they smash them.
Well, D, you and I have had a few different conversations about bringing in players, right, into this city and into this market. It's something that definitely gets pushed under the rug for your ability to bring in players, primarily because of not only the market, but the lifestyle, the city. Yeah, absolutely. And everything that goes into it. And I absolutely – and you and I know – that there have been a lot of different conversations, a lot of different things that really have never been reported. I mean, I know when I was a much younger lad and not at liberty to say, because they made me, you know, threaten that my $7.25 when I was picking up balls during shoot-around and stuff, that I would be fired. But there's a lot
Wouldn't
of things
change
that,
those days for the world, though, would you?
No doubt. But But there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes with this team that don't get reported in, and with the Green Bay Packers and with the Milwaukee Brewers. So I don't think it's necessarily just exclusive to this team, but it's a good point that you bring up about the leadership role and exactly who is fitting that for this Bucs team.
See, that's my biggest fear with this Bucs team. Well, like, I'm enjoying the season, and I don't want to be the wet blanket, but I'm looking longer down the stretch. I feel like this Bucs team is going the way that they need. They got the confidence. Jonathan took an unbelievable step. I don't want to make the Mo Williams, Michael Redd mistake in the past where we say, well, we can't have nobody, so I'm going to settle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this Bucs team should be in a position where you can package somebody like a Milton, why he's hot, why people believe in him, and bring something back in, because if not, you're either stuck with letting him walk in the offseason, or you're going to be stuck with that contract. And it's like, then you're going to be complaining. People will be complaining talking about that money in the long run because you got to sign Brogdon. I don't think Bledsoe level in the offseason is going to be what everybody think it is, too. So my whole thing is, with the social way that Milwaukee is, I think the best way to bring in a number two, honestly, is to do what Oklahoma City did and bring in somebody who wouldn't necessarily think Milwaukee is sport them. Once you bring them in, they realize it is.
And then you get lucky. Yep.
Yeah, because the perspective right now for a lot of minorities is what everybody's telling you. It's the worst, most segregated city in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. I've lived here my entire life. You and I both know that. We've had the conversations about it. D, appreciate it, man. Take it easy out there, all right? There's D checking out in Colorado. He used to be D on the east side, D in Fenimore, back when I started listening
D
to this station.
D in Fenimore. I knew that's where he was from.
When I was way young, when I was just a young whippersnapper listening to Sparky. I got my radio taken, actually. I told Stevie this story a couple of years ago. When I was in, like, seventh grade, Packers were, you know, I think it was right when Brett Favre had first announced his retirement. Okay. And I was freaking out thinking that Brett Favre was going to be gone, dude. My guy, I had like a little transistor radio I was listening to during like third period. It was Sparky's Midday Madness, and I got my radio taken. So thanks to Stevie, I got detention. And remember in hearing D
Billy
on the east
Greenfield?
Side. Oh, yeah. Yep. That was it. Yep. And actually also even worse. Reminiscing with Gary a couple of days ago. Because Gary Ellerson, his voicemail goes, hello?
Oh, he's one of those guys.
And it reminds me of, that was mine.
Awesome.
Back when I was a kid, it was, hey, this Billy Schmidt, you got my voicemail. Because my voice was super, it was bad. It was really, really bad. But that was back like when the Bucs were fighting to get to like 35 wins. And they might have 35 wins hopefully by the end of the month.
Yeah.
And they stay on the road. They'll take on the Atlanta Hawks coming up Sunday. We'll be in here, myself. You in on Sunday, Mitch?
I am in.
Mitch Ross will be in here. Evan Mark Heffelfinger have to work, or maybe we can sneak him in here. We might have to get a pie in here or something. We might have to get a little pizza pie in here. Maybe we get Evan in here on a divisional round Sunday. It's going to be fun. Take a little break from the football action and talk some Bucks with us on Sunday on the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. A lot more to get to still. Stick around with us. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks lose 113-106 in game 41 of the 2018-2019 season. We'll hear from Coach Bud in a moment, but first, let's get to tonight's defensive play of the game, brought to you by Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power online at LIUNA113.org. The defensive play of the game brought to you by Splash Mountain. And then he leads it out to Eric Bledsoe.
In December, block shot, Brook Lopez. He stuffs Thomas Bryant. Bledsoe takes it in and holds off Bradley Beal.
Eric Bledsoe, there have been a lot of people talking about Eric Bledsoe and what he means to the team, being able to run like they do and just how effective he's been for the team and for the offense going. On a night like tonight where Giannis doesn't play, did you expect a little bit more out of Bledsoe? I mean, I know you talked about it earlier, 25 out of Middleton tonight. You were hoping for a little bit more, but 18-9 is...
Well, Bledsoe was big in the third quarter and the second half.
Yeah.
You know, 7 of 21 from the floor, 2 of 9 from beyond the arc. You'd like to see that go up, but he's coming back down to earth a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. Bledsoe, as far as the three-point shooting, you know, he was up in the 40s. I doubt he's there now after a couple of tough games. I know Monday he was not very good overall again. But, I mean, he was – I mean, really, he was the spark behind that third quarter run.
No doubt.
And third quarter push from the Bucks.
Doing a lot in 28 minutes tonight. 9 assists and 8 rebounds for Eric Bledsoe. Doing a whole lot for Mike Budenholzer's team. Let's hear from Coach Bud right now on the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show.
You know, pretty impressive shooting night by them. Obviously, Beal's a great individual player. But, you know, Reese, I think, 6 for 12 from the three-point line. And Jeff Green – I think hit 4 of them and, you know, just 18. So a lot of credit to them. Our guys tried to fight back. We dug ourselves a huge hole in the first quarter and just couldn't make enough plays down the stretch. So, but I think the last three quarters we got better tonight.
Why do you think it wasn't they were getting
you know, I mean, at times they're playing, I guess, Jeff Green and Otto Porter is kind of the 5 and the 4 and just kind of spreading out, and Beal, you know, Beal gets a lot of attention, so, you know, you got to kind of try and corral him, and, you know, sometimes guys get loose.
They scored 40 points in the first quarter. They get comfortable. How can that carry over into all 4 quarters?
Well, I don't think they were comfortable after the first quarter. I mean, I think the second quarter they had 17, and, you know, second, you know, fourth, I don't know what they had, but I thought the first quarter we were poor, and then after that we were much better. And, you know, we know going forward we can't have a first quarter like that.
How have you seen Satoransky develop over the years, and what was made him work tonight?
Yeah, it just looks like his confidence is an all-time high. You know, he hit a couple of threes, and he's hitting, for at least tonight, felt like he hit just enough threes then to, you know, kind of keep his drive game open, his floater. He had some tough floaters in the paint, finding guys. It's just overall game looks really good.
First half, really, what did you see from your offense in terms of just how things were working and were not working?
Not very good. You know, I think we were a little bit in mud tonight, defensively in the first quarter and offensively for, you know, more of the game than that. So, you know, you just got to – to play the way we want to play, you got to move. You got to move people, move the ball, and we just were a little stagnant. Even no matter how you're being guarded, I think we can move people better and move the ball better.
What is it about the third quarter? We've seen that not just tonight, but multiple games. You guys come out of that and really play well.
You know, the guys. I think, you know, there's a lot of resolve, a lot of character in the locker room, and, you know, I don't think anybody was very happy with, you know, particularly the first quarter. So. You know, I think we came out with a great start, like an 8-0 run, and, you know, we're right back in the game. Or, you know, so it's a high character group. They want to be great, and they're pushing themselves.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys.
Not a back injury, it's actually a hip pointer for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who misses the game tonight. Suited up, but was not going to go. Giannis was out. Jason Smith, Christian Wood, and Pat Connaughton did not play. Those were coaches' decisions, not injuries, though. Giannis expected to... I don't know if he'll go on Sunday, I would imagine, against the 13-win Atlanta Hawks. Might be a nice time to get him just a full weekend off, as the Bucks will then be coming back home after the Hawks game, something we'll talk about a little bit, hopefully, on with Matt Velasquez coming up here in the next segment. We'll also hear from Malcolm Brogdon coming up. But the Bucks are in a situation when you get Miami on Tuesday night at Fiserv Forum, in the position you're at, 29-12 at this point in the season, it's really, these are the nights to get Giannis the extra days, and you could have 4 or 5 days in between games for him to be able to really rest up.
Yeah, I wish I would have known where these injuries came from. Something must have happened the other night. I believe our insider Matt Velasquez tweeted that it's stuff that's been kind of lingering, and they wanted to just get a little bit of a rest night. So nothing to be overly concerned about, I don't think, at this point with Giannis. But yeah, I mean, to sit him against Atlanta, that would have made more sense to me personally. Now, if you want to do both, I can see it.
If you do both, it makes a lot more sense.
Probably.
Yep.
Because it's like, why would you sit him against the Wizards, who, you know, the record's not pretty, but, you know, they are playing better, and I feel like they're a better team without Wall, and we saw that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But Atlanta, you know, the lesser opponent, you boat race them here in Milwaukee 1 week ago today.
Yep.
So I think it does make more sense if you sit him, just go ahead and go all in and sit him on Sunday as well and get him ready for that Miami game. You'd like to get those guys back. Now, however, Atlanta is Coach Bud's former team, which I'm sure he'll always like to beat.
And also, there's a little bit of that for the team as well. Like, you saw them get real up for that Atlanta game.
I mean, the only other explanation there was you had the big game the night before. They wanted to just beat them down right away and get out
of there.
But there had to be something there, I think, with Coach Bud.
Some of it's got to be, I mean, obvious. We see the respect and loyalty that these players have to Coach Bud.
Yep.
But some of that, too, is just posturing, saying, hey, guys, look at what this guy's got now.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Giannis, at one point, I think it was like the first like 6 minutes of that game, he had 5 points, 4 boards, and 4 assists. Ted Davis was losing his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it was exhilarating.
That was a beatdown. I mean, they were up by 29 at the end of the first quarter. Yep. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Outside of when the Bucks played the Hawks in the playoffs and in that game six, and that game was just the most brutal thing.
Or the Bucks played the Bulls.
I was at that game, and then Giannis speared Mike Dunleavy. Yeah,
The game was over at that moment.
That was awesome.
Damn it, that was great.
That was still so good. Mike Dunleavy. I got a couple of really really funny stories about that dude. Can't tell any of them on here. Oh,
come on now.
Nope. Those are a corner bar and propped up stories that maybe I might be able to divulge. Probably still shouldn't, but as we look at tonight's Screamin' Sicilian play of the game, brought to you by Screamin' Sicilian Pizza. If you're getting frozen pizza for a night, you might as well just go with the best.
Mm-mm.
And that's going to be a Screamin' Sicilian frozen pizza. They present us tonight, and also when you're talking about plays that get you screaming, Sterling Brown, goodness gracious, with some authority in the fourth.
It was a low pass and a hard flush by Sterling Brown. He had to haul in the skip and took off with it. Oh my goodness, Sterling showing him something right there.
Steve Novak jacked up, the Brown Deer native getting into it. Steve Novak, I don't know about you, I'm growing more and more to like him on the call much more than I like him in on the desk after the game halftime show. If he's going to be there, he's got to be on the floor. He gets too into it not to be on the floor.
So considering Marcus Johnson is one of the best broadcasters I've ever heard, there's a little bit of a step down. Undeniable.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you know, he's coming around a little bit.
There's got to be a way you can get three spots at that scorer's table.
Right.
Two former players. One's a local. One's a guy that everybody just calls for and clamors for to have his jersey retired.
It's something Marcus spends a lot of time in L.A. yet.
Yep.
I don't believe he wants the full-time spot.
No, absolutely.
He's got his kids out there and everything. So, you know, and that's fine. We all respect it. But, yeah, that would be great to have Marcus every game.
And even the games that if he does, if he works 50 or whatever, Steve's there too. That's a three-man. You know, otherwise it's just Steve and Jim or – I would love to hear some more of that because that's just exciting. I enjoy hearing that every single time. I know everybody's sad that John McLaughlin's not as much of a part of it or if any part of it at this point, but Marcus Johnson makes up for it. Like you said, he's one of the better color guys that I've heard in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, he's just so good at being, you know.
Being real.
Being real, being critical of the team when necessary. Not negative, you know, necessarily, but just, you know, and then obviously some great funny calls all the time, and he's awesome.
And it's tough when you're in the position like Marcus is, being as respected of a former player as you are. But like you said, you have a job to do as well, and to say when guys are messing up, when things aren't right, when the team's not playing well, when they're, you know, the energy is low. Marcus is never afraid to say, energy's got to pick up right now. Guys look laxed. But also, like you said, pimping it out when it's a good call and having some fun when these guys are balling out. Because they have 29 and 12. It's hard not to watch Bucks games right now and just smile the entire game. Even tonight when, you know, I was waiting for Mitch Ross to throw something in the studio.
Yeah, I almost threw my hat once.
People don't know the exhilaration and the fear also that you have watching a game with you here in the studio.
It should almost be a segment on the show, I think. Just what...
I'm telling you, we got to get some cameras in this place.
I don't believe there was a pound of the tech for the Wizards is certainly justifiable because that's ridiculous.
I was proud of you, Mitch. But really, I mean, Evan's in here.
Maybe seeing Sam Decker's beautiful face kept me, you know,
calmed it down.
Yeah.
Was Olivia at the game tonight?
I did not see her.
Did we get a shot of Olivia tonight?
She's probably working, man.
Well, college football season.
She might be in Madison doing. Oh no, that's on Fox.
College football season's over. She might have. Now, Evan is in here. He's been in here for Brewer games, now Bucks games as well. Evan, when you had the opportunity, you got to see playoff Tim Allen, which was something different than even I got to witness when I was just getting up and then this year seeing that. And then you see Mitch Ross with one of the best Bucks teams of all time. Who is scarier to watch a game with in person here in the studio?
There we go.
That's really tough, honestly. Tim was consistently vocal, like.
But Mitch is random outbursts.
Yeah,
it gets quiet.
The shock factor. It's like a jump scare in a horror movie.
I would agree.
Tim is just constantly like after a bad pitch, he'll be like, "Come on, Mingo!"
Yeah,
or something like that. You know,
Tim, you get the consistent screaming. I don't know how the dude goes through an entire game screaming like he does, and then we go out and talk for an hour and a half. With Mitch, like you said, it's a lot random, more just, you know, you're in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah.
And then, oh my goodness! What? What?
It's scary at times, for sure.
It's fun, though. Mitch and I have known each other now for what, almost 5 years now.
The language is a little more...
A little more colorful. That's what I'm saying. We need to have cameras. We'll keep it on the internet. That's why the Tim and Tausch in the Morning podcast is able to reach the boundaries that we do.
When that podcast exists, you gotta watch your back around here. You gotta be careful.
Mitch has appeared on the podcast. If you want to go check it out, radio.com app. Go download it today. Subscribe and favorite Tim and Tausch in the Morning. Favorite Bucks coverage, Brewers coverage, Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels show is on there. Wendy's Big Show as well, Packers coverage, just download it. And all the podcasts that we do here on the station come right up to the podcast page. The easiest way to listen to us wherever you go, anytime, anywhere.
Hot Stove Weekly coming up as well.
Yes, sir. On 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock now on Monday. Mm-hmm. Yasmani Grandal coming home.
At $18.25 million. How about Mark Antanasio opening up the pocketbook?
Might as well at this point.
But what better situation to be a Milwaukee sports fan? Frankly, I did not expect. There was a time, I think it was right around that Bulls game that we talked about, when the Bucks get blown out by the Bulls in the playoffs, where I sat down and had a realistic thought to myself, and it was more of an epiphany, a realization, a sad realization that I was like, this team's never going to win the championship. This is insanity. I'm insane. Clinically insane. The definition of insanity is watching the same thing happen every single time and expecting a different result. How on earth are they going to win the championship? I see LeBron James. Then I see Kevin Durant. Oh, then I see this dude, Steph Curry, who's 6'3", and you can't stop him. How are the Bucks ever going to do this? And then the Cubs win the World Series 2 years ago. And right around the same time that the Bucks got ousted in the playoffs by the Chicago Bulls. And going to school with all Illinois people, and my team's never going to do this. They're never going to have a championship. One game away from a World Series, and right now you are one position away from having home court advantage to the NBA Finals. Pretty sweet sports that we're watching here in the city, and you're hearing all the best coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show after every game right here on The Fan, talking Bucks. I'll be here when the Bucks take on the Atlanta Hawks coming up on Sunday afternoon. But coming back, we'll hear from Malcolm Brogdon, hopefully our insider Matt Velasquez. Still a lot more to get to tonight here on The Fan.
We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. Sponsored by Precision Sports. Specializing in the delivery, installation, removal, and repair of basketball hoops, exercise equipment, game tables, and backyard playgrounds. Go to PrecisionSportsOnline.com.
Welcome back. Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Mayor Mitch Ross in here as well. And before we get inside the locker room, we're going to talk with our man, Matt Velasquez. He's brought to you by the Thomas Morello Law Office's divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morello online at morellalaw.net or call him at 414-327-5800. Matt, appreciate the time, man. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot to write about tonight as the Bucks fall in the nation's capital, 113-106. First off, just got to ask, what are you hearing about Giannis out tonight?
Yeah, I talked to him just briefly after the game. He said he's doing okay. He's not sure exactly what the injury, how long it'll keep him out, anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't expect it to be serious, but he's just more focused on the team and more worried about them. So we'll try and get an update more tomorrow off of practice in Atlanta. But as of right now, it's just the injury was enough to keep him out, and obviously the Bucks are being cautious. They don't want to risk anything bigger happen to him.
And you never want, obviously, your superstar to miss a game. You'd like that he can suit up for 82 nights. But you get the Wizards on the road, and then you're taking on the Hawks, who have 13 wins coming up on Sunday. I know it's Coach Bud's former team, and they boat raced them last time they were here in Milwaukee and blew them out. But would you expect to maybe not see Giannis on Sunday if it was a bigger game? He would be out there despite whatever it is?
I think it all depends on, his level of health. If he's anything below 100%, I don't think they push it.
Okay.
And I don't know if they would push it in a bigger game either, because, they're focused on the big games in April and May and during that time of year. So they're gonna treat it with kid gloves. They're gonna make sure that he's in tip top shape and that he's able to go before they actually put him out there.
Matt, with Giannis out, would you expect to see more from Chris Middleton, who tonight 8 of 17, 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, 25 points, rather quietly? Would you expect to maybe have him, maybe make a little bit more of an impact on the game, a more noticeable impact?
Well, I think he had a quiet first half, and part of that was the whole Bucks team really did. I mean, they definitely weren't. I mean, when you put up 26 points in the first quarter and 21 in the second, that's not good offense. You're obviously not playing to the best of your abilities when that's the situation that's happening. They got some good buckets, some good numbers from Brogdon and Lopez and Ilyasova in that first half, while Middleton and Bledsoe reached 2 for 7 from the field before halftime. And then you kind of saw both those two guys who you think would be making the big impact. They kind of flipped the switch there in the third quarter. I think Middleton had 11 of his 25 in the third, and Bledsoe had 10 of, I think he had 14, but he... they were big. They were the two guys who keyed the 8-0 run just immediately in the first 2 minutes to get them back within striking distance. Obviously you'd like to see that all game long. You'd like to see them be able to do it in kind of a little bit of a louder fashion, instead of having a quiet 25 and I think 14 that the Bledsoe had. That was kind of the Bucks' offense in a nutshell. All of them were kind of sluggish and underwhelming and not really, making enough happen collectively.
Final thing for you, Matt. I know you got to get going and you got a plane to catch. But 41 games into the season tonight, 21-12, your first half review of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I mean, I think they had great first half. I mean, obviously tonight notwithstanding, it's a game that they believe they could have won and should have won even without Giannis. But you look at what they've been able to do. They're on pace for 58 wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. You're gonna have games like this in the NBA. Obviously, the Wizards shot the lights out from three. If your opponent shoots 55% on threes, they're probably gonna win. I think overall the adjustment to Bud and his system and the new addition to the roster have all been major positives. Giannis is playing at an MVP level. He's getting plenty of help from up and down the roster. They're really deep. They have a lot of signature wins, good wins against the best teams in the NBA, home and away. If I told anyone that the Bucks would be on pace for 58 wins halfway through the season, I'm sure any Bucks fan would be rejoicing in the streets over that idea. Obviously tonight was a bummer, not their best effort, not their best game. But overall, the first half of the season has been just about really what anybody can ask for.
It's been as much fun as I've had as a Bucks fan my entire life, Matt. I appreciate all that you do for us here on the station and Bucks fans around the city with all your writing. We'll be reading it. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Matt.
Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
Now we're going to go inside the locker room. This is brought to you by Precision Sports, and they specialize in the delivery, installation, removal, and repair of basketball hoops, exercise equipment, game tables, and backyard playgrounds. Go to PrecisionSportsOnline.com. Malcolm Brogdon is who we hear from tonight, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
We're a little bit sluggish, step behind a little bit. Just got to be better.
18 threes for them, but defense-oriented, or team
just going out? A little bit of both. They knocked down shots. I thought Green was terrific tonight. He knocked down shots when they needed it. But, you know, defensively, we can be a lot better.
Get down that hole early and just spend so much of the game
trying
to fight out.
It's tough when you dig yourself a hole in the first quarter and you never fully recover.
Yeah, that's this league, man. You get down early and it's a game of runs. We see how many different teams come back and bounce around and be able to finish games like this. Bucks have done it a lot of different times earlier in this year. 29-12, they've had a lot of come from behind wins that put them in the situation that they are right now, 29-12, second in the Eastern Conference at the mathematical halfway point. We turn the corner, basically into the home stretch. Basketball season is almost done. How about that? Not really. It's game 42. We'll talk about it with you on Sunday afternoon.
We're going all the way to Father's Day, baby. So
that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. And what better Father's Day gift that you could get than an NBA Finals t-shirt, championship t-shirt. Get us some t-shirts. Want a championship hat, man. Come on. Bucks and Hawks coming up on Sunday. I'll be here with Mitch and Evan Heffelfinger. They were in here tonight. Tremendous job, guys. And thanks to Matt Velasquez for joining us. After the 113-106 Bucks loss in the nation's capital, talk about it coming up on Sunday when they take on the